Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
You know, if you need more proof that we're in a massive bubble, in fact, multiple bubbles, I'll give it to you. A $2 billion increase in the revenue guidance for NVIDIA when they reported their earnings about a week ago caused a market cap increase, a valuation of NVIDIA's shares outstanding of over $250 billion. Did you get that? A $2 billion increase in the revenue guidance caused a $250 billion increase in the market value of NVIDIA. That is a bubble such as we have never even imagined before. What caused the bubble, you ask? If you need to know, I'm sure you do, most of you at least. We've had $1 trillion in QE, quantitative easing, over the past year. The $1 trillion in quantitative tightening that is going on in the background has been more than offset by the $2 trillion that came out of the reverse repo facility. The reverse repo facility contains Fed credit or reserves, which are part of the monetary base and considered high-powered money as such. That was money that was out of the financial system and sitting fallow at the Federal Reserve. But there's only $500 billion left now, half a trillion. So the games are almost over. You know, NVIDIA, when they reported their earnings last week, it took the entire stock market on its back and the market marched higher. However, to justify the current valuation of NVIDIA, the company would have to maintain its 55% operating margin for the next 10 years, meaning it's going to have no competition for the next decade, and it would have to increase its sales tenfold to $600 billion, which is more than the entire chip industry sold last year, $527 billion. Let's do a quick FOMO check. The classic diversified 60-40 stock and bond portfolio is down 13% since the end of 2021. If your portfolio was 100% equities and you decided to forgo the offsetting ballast derived from bonds, you started to be a real cowboy and just have, I want to have only stocks, you would have found that the equal weight S&P 500 is down 1%. The NASDAQ is also down 1%. The Russell 2000 is down 17%. And even the S&P 500 index is up just 5% since the start of 2022. And that is including the overweight AI components of the index. Yes, it's been a miserable 2 years. Believe me, I know. Turning to why the consumer is clinging on to their living standards by their fingernails, food inflation is now eating up over 11% of disposable family income, which is a 30-year high. Real gross domestic income is now contracting. This has happened 12 times since 1948, and each occurrence has been around the start of a recession. I think the owners of large corporations understand the fragility of it all and are voting with their wallets. According to the data source Game of Trades, the ratio of insider sales to buys is off the chart. A ratio of under 12 to 1 on the sales to buys is considered bullish. A ratio of 20 to 1 is considered bearish. Today, the ratio is 150 to 1. Insiders are dumping shares at a breakneck pace. The 13-week moving average of the insider sell-buy ratio just eclipsed the level last seen in Q4 of 2021, just before the S&P 500 dropped by 25% and the NASDAQ plunged by 35%. I mean, even Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan sold $150 million of shares. This is the first time he sold shares in his company. Jeff Bezos sold 50 million shares of Amazon worth $8.7 billion. And Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Meta, Facebook, whatever you want to call it, has sold 1 billion of stocks so far this year. And it's because the economic data is just starting to turn south. It's happening now. We're not waiting any longer. The index for consumer confidence fell in February to 106.7, down from a reading of 110.9 in January, which that reading of January in itself was revised downward from the original estimate of 114.8. So we've gone from 114.8 to 106.7. The February reading was supposed to be 115.1, an increase, but it plunged. Durable goods dropped by 6.1% in January. This was the largest drop in durable goods in 4 years. Now, I know Boeing had a lot of problems, but still. The data for December was revised lower to show orders were falling 0.3% instead of being unchanged, as previously reported. And the ex-transportation figure was down also 0.3%. Consumer confidence, durable goods, retail sales, housing starts, and manufacturing production data have all disappointed to start off the year. But that has not stopped the mainstream financial media cheerleaders from garrulously flapping their mouths about a soft landing. Macy's announced on Tuesday that it's going to close 150 stores due to poor sales. I wonder if any of those massive layoffs will be captured by the Department of Labor. Layoffs have stubbornly stayed around 200,000 per week, but layoff announcements have skyrocketed in the past few quarters. Miraculously, none of that is being picked up by the official government data. Lucky for us, the government is scheduled to partially shut down on Friday and then fully shut down on March 8th. I'm sure the feckless politicians in both parties will stick their heads in the sand and punt for at least a few more weeks. But come the end of April, they must all find a way to agree on the borrowing and printing scheme that they've relied on for so many years. Because there's mandatory 1% spending cuts across the board kick in on May 1st. However, in reality, it would be a 10% cut if you take into account the current full-year continuing resolution plan funding. The point here is not just that the chaos in D.C. is going to escalate, but the huge rate of change government deficit spending increases, which were credited for the big boost in GDP in 2023, will not be in play this year, no matter what happens. Meanwhile, the reality clock keeps ticking down. March 11th is only 12 days away. That is when the Bank Term Funding Program ends, and nobody is talking about it. Nobody. I don't hear anybody talking about it, as if it was inconsequential. Remember, this is the program launched by Powell and the Fed on March 11th of 23 that printed $400 billion in 2 weeks to rescue the financial system exactly 1 year ago. At that juncture, just 12 days, in 12 days, banks will be handed back all of their distressed mortgage-backed securities, all of their government bonds that are trading well below par value. Then in exchange for those bad assets back on their balance sheet, they must give the Fed full credit that they were afforded for the bonds plus interest. Also, there will be no new access to the BTFP, no new lending to banks taking place after 12 days. Banks that would now be suffering the same fate as Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic Bank, Signature Bank, and soon to be perhaps New York Community Bank will have to hold on to their distressed debt instead of pawning it off to the Fed. Now, I'm not saying the bottom is going to fall out of the stock market on that date, but I am saying the already high level of stress in the banking system will increase significantly at that time. I expect that stress to spill over into the broader market rather quickly. The regional banking index is down 8% year to date, down 22% year over year, and down 60% in the past 2 years. The problems in the banking system are not a figment of my imagination. They are very real. But it gets worse from there. In the next 2 months, I expect the reverse repo facility to run dry, which has been the primary source of market liquidity. I originally calculated it would be at the end of March. Now it looks more like a May, maybe perhaps at the latest June. The reason for the miscalculation is the pace of decline in the reverse repo facility has abated somewhat over the past few months, but nevertheless, the trajectory is clearly down. We remain net long for now, but are also assiduously monitoring the credit markets and financial conditions for our early warning signals for when to reduce longs and take on a net short position. There's a tremendous amount of money to be made, I believe, in shorting this market at the right time. And there's simply going to be a much better time to get significantly long the market. Better and safer prices are coming. We remain patient.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.